B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bruins scrape it up right wing, can't get it out. Sent out in front by Teravainen, and Marchand will grab it. Yeah,
Carlo with a strong shift there. Good poke check, and then the block shot in front.
Pastrnak cuts through the middle. Right circle, it's fired. They score! The legend of Bergeron continues in double overtime. Bergeron wins it for the Bruins. 4-3 over the Hurricanes, and the Bruins take a 1-0 lead in this best-of-7 opening round matchup.
All right. There we go.
Hello.
Now it's working. Welcome in.
You gotta turn on the mic, Marconi.
Zulak and Bertrand. And
hey. Oh, that's what was going on. I'm looking at you guys in studio. I see people like a whirling dervish. Can't figure things out. Microphone, huh?
Yeah, microphone was off. Not my problem, though. I didn't do it.
Nope. I didn't do it either.
Z-Bone didn't do it either. He's blaming another producer here at the station.
Hello.
Can you see through that screen? Are you looking at me?
Am I looking at you?
No. There's no camera on that screen. He's looking at you.
It looks like he's looking like right at me.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It looks like we're having a FaceTime with you right now.
I can see you.
Oh, this is creepy.
But we're not. But when you see us, we're not looking directly
okay.
at you.
Jesus.
I might be based on that camera, but Zoe, you'd have to look over there at that one.
Okay.
You got some new foster grants there, Zoe? What are those? I don't think I've noticed those before.
We'll get to the other ones that got lost yesterday.
We had an incident yesterday. It's a small incident. His phone is not working currently.
How many things did you drop overboard? Or was it just you went overboard?
Phone, keys, glasses, shoes.
Phone, keys, shoes. Gum. Remember that phone?
Shirt.
Gum? And yeah. Shoes?
You know what I did when I
did you recover
over?
The shoes?
I just laid on my back. Help me! And I just fly. Like, what about Bob fell over?
Yeah. Were the shoes recovered?
Shoes were recovered, yes.
Are they gross? Oh, you're wearing them?
Look.
Okay. All right. Then.
So you fell still overboard? Is that what happened?
Yes. I got pushed.
Were you near land?
I was on a dock.
How deep was the water?
I didn't touch. So more than 8 feet.
Deep enough.
All right.
Deep enough. That's what she said. Yeah. Okay. All right. Wow. You have that on command.
That's odd.
That's an old Trident commercial, that campaign that I took part in.
Checks, you weren't the only one.
The check's cleared. Sweet. Let's get to the Bruins. Though. How about the Bruins yesterday?
Yeah.
Love to say I told you so.
Well, wasn't it really I told you so?
Not really, but yeah. I told you I wasn't going to worry until 4 games in.
Right.
And you guys like, you should be worrying already. I'm like, I'm not worried yet.
You weren't worried yesterday?
I got worried at 2-2.
You weren't worried yesterday when it was then 3-3 on top of that, too?
I wish they wouldn't have allowed them to tie it twice. That wasn't good. Once or twice. I have to go back and reimagine. Let's see. They finally got their first lead of the restart.
Yeah.
That was nice. So, I didn't love the fact that they allowed a goal after scoring one, a mere 31 seconds after they scored.
That's the ball breaker.
That shorthander was unfortunate.
Shorthander was special, wasn't it? Can I ask you a question? Well, you're just spurring a thought in my mind. Why is it that Pastrnak so often turns the puck over on the power play? Is that me, or is that a thing?
I don't know if that's a thing.
Why do I feel like that happens more often than it should?
Is he trying to create too much?
Who's as highly skilled as he is?
Like, just stay with the puck. Like, stop trying to move it.
Like, he's on the point on the power play, and I feel like there are too many times where he does something stupid with the puck on the power play. That's just me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. Yeah. Maybe I don't know anything about hockey. Maybe I haven't watched enough hockey.
Well, it depends on what Tony thinks. You know, Tony.
It's caught my eye a little bit. I'm sorry. For a guy who's as good as he is, it seems odd. But go ahead. You were saying you didn't like the response from Carolina. Each time they needed to respond, they sort of did in that game. They got some fight.
And that's a team that's got a chip on their shoulder, too. I mean, you popped them last year. And again, when you watch these teams in this bubble going into it, Bruins didn't look like the team that they were when this thing ended. And that was my bitch about it is you give other teams confidence now against you to where, okay, we get down. It's not a big deal. Maybe last year they got down by one. That game would have been done.
Hardy, I felt like at the end of the game, you're talking about, you know, late and being tight. I don't know how you guys felt. I felt like their season, this might be a little bit hyperbole, it felt like their season was in the balance of how that game went yesterday.
I agree.
I thought that was a huge, huge win for the Bruins to get that win and get over that hump of having not won a game out there. And now they've won one, and it was an important one, and they've got a quick one coming up tonight. I don't know. I felt like that was a really big win to start this series yesterday.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, it was, as in virtually all one-goal games, it was hanging in the balance as to how I was going to feel about this team going forward. Now, they looked better, as T-Bone had said, you know, in that first, you know, he was going to be looking at the first shift. You know, we wanted to look at the first period or the first half of the first period. They did look better, but without the results to show for it, I wasn't convinced that this team had done something good enough to make me feel better about them just based on, obviously, the score. I mean, when you have to go into a second overtime in order to decide the thing, it was hanging right there in the balance. But it was also by virtue of how it happened. You know, the top line producing, which is what, obviously, most teams need. But the Bruins, more than anything, you have to have production.
But they were, Marchand, Hardy, the Bruins
and Bergeron.
The Bruins were outplaying them for the overwhelming majority of that game. The Bruins were the better team. That's how I felt, especially in the late, in the second and third period. Now, Carolina had these responses, which sort of shows you something about them, but I felt like as you watch that game, the Bruins are the better team out on the ice. They look like the better team. They're playing like the better team, which is why I thought
it
a loss
wasn't by leaps and bounds. I wouldn't say it was a huge majority. I would say it was, if you're going to give the edge in addition to the score as to who looked better, I give it to the Bruins, but not by much.
Well, I thought the Bruins made mistakes, which is how Carolina was in this game. Yeah, that's what I felt. Felt like they'd made mistakes that allowed this to happen.
But then
you've got basically a
four
on one, okay?
Yeah.
On one of their goals. Or you want to call it a four on one and a half, if you will.
Well,
okay.
Well, that's just it. And they did a nice breakdown of it too about how there's like nobody going after the puck. And you know,
hockey people, you guys don't know anything about hockey.
I understand you have to play position. I understand, especially in your own zone, you have to go to where the puck is going to be and not where it is. But it's hard to explain away one guy in the zone with the puck. You have three, almost four Bruins back, and the guy's out there by himself, allowed to move and allowed to stay on the puck, not even really being challenged by it. There were times like that where I'm like, ugh. That doesn't look very good, and it was during that same stretch of the game where the Hurricanes' passing lanes just looked like they were 50 feet wide. They could move the puck at will. It didn't last for the entire game. It didn't even last for an entire period. But there were significant portions of the game where I thought Carolina looked better and the Bruins became unengaged. And that's what causes me to say, yeah, I wasn't completely convinced until the very end, and they get the game winner, and hopefully that will be enough to turn them around in the other direction here for the remainder of the postseason.
I thought it would have been devastating if they lost that game after the way they played, because it would have been their own fault. It would have been on them. I don't think we would have looked at that and said, that's a great Carolina win. No, you'd say the Bruins screwed this
stole
one up.
They would say Carolina stole that one.
You know, they were the better team out there, and then they screwed it all up on a couple of goals. So that's how I think it would have been devastating in a bad way, considering everything they had gone through in the previous 24 hours. Now, you mentioned the top line. I've been griping about the top line forever.
They've been over for Benintendi.
That is huge, that when you need them the most, they are there and they came through.
They did.
So there is playoff top line. That's number one. There's playoff Krejci, who is just, he's back in a big way.
He had the dish to DeBrusque, right? Did he hit the top shelf on?
Yes. Oh, what a pass.
What a pass.
What a great pass. That was wasted by DeBrusque. Wasted by DeBrusque. What a waste. That guy drives you crazy.
How do you miss that? How do you miss that?
So that was true. You know who I really liked yesterday? And I don't think it didn't show up statistically.
Rask.
But I want to go back. What was our guy's name? Was it Paul in the car?
Oh, the Richie. Yeah, I thought it was Tony and a car.
Who did Paul and the car tell us to watch?
Oh, Kasha and Richie.
Kasha and Richie.
The whole season.
So I did it. So I did it for him. I think it's something we should do a trade line review. A trade deadline review.
Yeah,
now that we're, meaningful game into the playoffs now.
Well, now they're hockey
guys. Kasha and Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about them and the Bruins win. And your calls, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Let's go, Bruins fans. What do you got on the win yesterday? We're talking about that, and we'll talk about Kasha and Richie. Paul's guys next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
When I watched the game, the last game, what I watched was Kasha and Richie. And it sounds kind of stupid, but those two guys are going to be key in the middle six of our lineup. Mm.
Yes, I think the team's success...
Every time we talk about Richie, by the way, that was Paul in the car the other day.
Richie.
Call us back, Paul. Anytime his name comes up, I have a hard time not calling him Brett Richie. The old jellyfish.
Now, we met Richie first day he got here.
Nick Richie.
Oh, excuse me.
Nick Richie.
Nick Richie.
Not Brett Richie.
Yeah.
That's what do we call Brett Richie? Old jelly hand?
That was Brett Conley.
Oh, Brett Conley. I'm getting all these guys confused.
No structure in his hand.
I've got my Brett. Hand. I've got my Brett's confused. I've got my Richie's confused.
But Zoe is right. He came up to the table there at Warrior his first practice, I think.
He did. He's very quiet, very reserved.
Thick kid, though.
And you know what? That carries over onto the ice because he's got tremendous size, mm-hmm. and he doesn't use it.
You know what he reminds me of? Mm. Josh Allen. Got that. Oh, hi.
Do you feel like he's made a real positive impact on the team, Hardy, here recently?
I feel like
he was a factor yesterday, as Paul suggested he might need to be.
I feel like his impact is difficult to see.
Non-factor, has size, doesn't use it.
By the way, that Paul guy who sent me the email, which I still, I need to set aside time like over the weekend or on vacation to read the first email that he sent, 19 paragraphs. You know, with
what's wrong with you people?
With like quotes and conversations and all this stuff. It's like a freaking short story.
I got something
and
for him. Can I give him something?
He emailed me back after the game. ECHEM.
Wait, last night he did?
Yes, at 5:03 p.m. after the game. ECHEM, which I guess is him trying to say ahem, like
ahem,
hey, like I. What did you? Were your points made by that? By that game? I don't know.
I want to give him one.
All right.
Kasha was tremendous yesterday. That dude can really play. He's really good. At least he was yesterday. In the here and now, that guy can play. It didn't really show up and he didn't have a goal, but he's good. He's good and he's a factor. I thought he may have been their best forward out there yesterday. That's how well I thought he played in that game. So, point to Paul on Kasha, and there goes the Hardy's video stream. It is gone. So look at it.
Uh-oh.
Hello. So point to him on that. Richie, I don't feel as positive about. Let's go to the phones. Trevor, what do you make of those two guys?
Let me get to it then.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
Trevor.
What's up? Hey, I don't know if I'd agree on the take on Richie. I mean, I've seen him play physical before, but it wasn't yesterday. A guy like Richie is not going to be in the lineup to be able to do much against a speed team like Carolina. But, you know, if they do play a St. Louis or somebody and they need a physical, we can't get bullied. I agree. Kasha was great. But,
kind of bandsaw are you using?
Cutting something over there?
What, you got a bandsaw?
No, a power wash and a tennis court.
Nice.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yep.
So, sweet. But you know, you got to listen to the right. And you know, I think Richie, if you play a real physical team, if he lays the body down, that's what the value that you're getting out of him, because they didn't have it last year and they're going to need it. If they need it against a power team, they're going to need a guy like him to step up.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. This is not his series then. Not his series. As far as shots on goal, I think Kasha had 5 yesterday.
Oof.
Hold on. Hold
Sounds
on.
Heavy.
Yeah, hold on. He had 5 shots, as did Wagner to lead the team, each of them with 5. Wags is all over the place, man.
What, and we got
Wags had a hell of a restart.
We got the calls the other day about him. Oh, man. He's busting his ass.
He's been great. He's been working his ass off.
Like shot out of a cannon.
He should have like 7 goals.
Yeah, he should.
He rang the post a couple of times.
If like, let's say Pastrnak worked as hard as Wags has been working, right? It'd be like, you know, 10 goals so far since the restart. You're right. He should have like 7 goals, but they'll come, T-Bone. All right? We like Wags. A friend of the show.
So Zavarian guys.
Friend of the show, but working his ass off. He's a grinder.
Cocky kid.
That's what he is.
Yeah, listen to you guys. I don't listen when you talk hockey, though. Yeah.
That's fine.
I told him he's the
smartest guy I've ever met in that regard.
Yeah. Okay, said, then we can rip him then.
I said, that's
Hell
good.
Yeah, we can rip
I told him it's good. I said, Wags, good. We get to hockey, you shut it off. Listen for everything else. If only the Patriots would learn that.
Yeah.
Like, then we'd be in good shape. Oh, they're talking about us again. Let's shut it off. Looking at you, Andrews. Well, now that we say anything bad about him.
The bad footwork on that
shut
one.
It off. Turn the radio off. Edelman, turn it off. Anyway. Hardy, any other thoughts from the game yesterday that we haven't gotten to?
No, I thought Tuca looked pretty good. I was impressed by the play of Chara.
Really?
I mean, look, did what he had to do. You weren't impressed with Chara yesterday?
Nope.
He had some...
Sorry, go ahead. The delay's weird.
He had some timely saves. He cleared the puck out a couple of times after Tuca left a rebound out there that he probably, didn't want to. But I thought, you know, for him, Chara's one of those guys, it's almost like an offensive lineman for me. If I don't notice him, that means he's doing his job.
Huh.
And I didn't notice Chara yesterday getting spun around or getting beat or, you know, getting caught a little flat-footed, you know, trying to use his reach to his advantage. Nope. He was where he needed to be, and that's fine. That's all you need from him. You need him to be solid. And I thought he was just a solid presence back there. Otherwise, fine.
You need him to help kill penalties. We're not hearing about the 107 mile an hour slap shot from the top of the PowerPoint, all that stuff. Just be a decent defender and maybe come down some on the minutes to help spell him. You guys think Tuca goes today? Back to back?
It's a good question.
Yes. I think they're going to let it roll, right? Because, I mean, you know, under normal circumstances, you play the other night late, get the day off, then he plays again. But the fact it's back to back now,
I'd play.
Wouldn't be shocked.
I'd play him again tonight. Is what I would do.
Let's go get the second win.
Yeah, I think he's your best goalie.
I mean, with the overtime, it's a
longer game.
A little bit. The workload was a little bit longer than you
Games
wanted
late,
to.
Though.
I mean, overtime plus. But
well, the winning goalie stopped the other night. 85 shots. I think the winning goalie the other night stopped 85 shots in 5 overtimes.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't asked to, you know, play the next day.
Sure.
So I would put Tuca in because he's their best goalie. And as I've said, I want this to be a shorter series for the Bruins because the longer it goes on, the more I think it gives Carolina an edge that they don't necessarily deserve or have coming into it. So I don't want this series to go deep. And I think putting Tuca in tonight gives you your best chance to win. Here is Bruce Cassidy on making that decision for tonight's game.
Butch, I thought Tuca had a pretty easy time through the first 3 periods anyway. I'm wondering how double OT impacts whether you go with him again tomorrow. And what did you think of his game?
Well, we'll talk about tomorrow. Tonight, we'll let everyone kind of enjoy this one. Overtime, they had one off net chance, Svechnikov down the wing. So the one thing about today's game, there wasn't a lot of taxing stretches in our own end where – you know, goalies will fatigue and dehydrate. Penalty kill was pretty solid in that regard. Didn't get stuck a lot in our end. So That is a big factor on, you know, the recovery of Tuca. 12 o'clock start. Don't forget, a lot of the back-to-back games, Kevin, specifically with us and well, everybody, is you're traveling and you're getting a poor night's sleep and an early morning. So those won't be the case in this particular back-to-back. Everyone should sleep well tonight, get some rest. So there's that consideration too. So you got two things that, you know, can tilt towards Tuca getting a back-to-back start. I'm not saying that's going to happen because the conversation needs to be had with him and goalie Bob. And if we feel Yarrow gives us the best chance to win, we'll certainly go that route. His game tonight was fine. I thought the first goal was a bomb that just squeaked to him. We had a breakdown. The last one's one, obviously, when you got a lead. But, you know, obviously something happened there, a flash screen, because he's going to stop that one. There's a bit of a breakdown where we didn't get the block. But at the end of the day, there wasn't a whole lot of grade A's. So, you know, certainly Mrazek was the busier guy, made more high-end stops. But that doesn't mean Tuca didn't play well.
That's a lot of words there. It sounds like they're very much open to starting Halak tonight.
Sure.
That's what it sounds like.
But he's happy with Tuca. Yeah.
The way I hear that, I feel like he's prepping us to be prepared for Halak to be in net when I hear that quote. I don't know how you guys feel, but that's how I feel. Like, our back-to-backs during the season, we play Halak, we get to see how Tuca feels, we get to talk to goalie Bob. What is this?
I don't know, if he comes in and he's saying, I feel great, coach. I said, okay, no questions, you're the guy. Now, if he comes in, how are you feeling? I'm a little sore and this and that. All right, let's go, Halak, get ready. I don't know, I think they just talk it over today. I think they're comfortable with both. But I think if you have to ask if he's crossing his fingers, I bet Cassidy wants Tuca to come in and say, I'm feeling great and you're the guy. Go get another one. Let's get up two on these guys.
617-779-0985. Let's talk about the review that happened in the game yesterday. And Rob Brind'Amour already getting fined $25,000 by the league. We'll touch on that. And your Bruins calls after headlines. Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub.
Boston's home. Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coyle in for the draw, wins it. Bjork left in the cage, shoots Mrazek to save, leaves a rebound. Paudet, Mrazek tries to freeze it. Coyle shoots and scores! Mrazek complaining he got interfered with. Charlie Coyle bangs it in, and the Bruins look like they're on top 2-1.
No, what he's complaining about is he thinks it's a hand pass, and it was. But if Mrazek touches it, it's no longer a hand pass.
Carolina is challenging the play for a missed stoppage in the offensive zone.
Missed stoppage. So they're not denying that the hand pass was made, but he did touch it.
There seemed to be an issue with that one for Rob Brind'Amour, who has now been fined $25,000 because he challenged the wrong thing, is what really sort of happened. Rob Brind'Amour did his post-game Zoom yesterday, and when they talked to him on the Zoom call, he didn't say much about the call. This was one of the weird parts. This is why we can't play you the sound of what he said, because he didn't say it in his press conference. He said during the Zoom call, he just said, I still can't figure it out. It was like a throwaway line.
Well, it's hard getting any explanation at home, too.
And after that, he spoke on a call. Well, actually, I don't know if it was on a phone call or a text message or whatever it might be. But he spoke to two local writers, Sarah Sivian of The Athletic. And get ready for this one, Zoe, because I just know where this is going to go. Luke DeCock of the News and Observer in Raleigh.
Where'd he put it?
So he said, this is why the league's a joke, in my opinion, on these things. That one's a crime scene. That's what he said to DeCock. And to Sivian, he said, it's horse bleep. This is where the league is a joke. So he had multiple comments to two different reporters about how much of a joke the league is on that call. So he had an issue with Charlie Coyle's goal, and it looked like Nick Ritchie had batted the puck.
Okay, puck went down.
Puck towards the goal.
It's on the ice, and you see Mraz's left mitt reaching to touch it, actually touches it, puts one finger on top of it, then it starts to move, and then it gets out into space.
So Brindamore says...
There's a stick there. Go ahead.
Brindamore claims the refs didn't tell him what the call was on the ice.
Okay.
That they didn't tell him what it was, which left him with two choices.
Mraz touched it.
Challenge that there was a hand pass, or challenge that they should have stopped it because Mrazek had covered the puck. He had two things he could have challenged there. He challenged that the puck had been covered up by Mrazek and he lost.
Hmm.
But I guess had he challenged the hand pass, he would have won? Is that?
No. No. Because
he would have lost.
You can't win the hand pass.
He touched the puck.
Because the puck was passed to him, essentially. The puck got batted down and he covered it. So it can't be a hand pass if you pass it to the other team. So I think it was my understanding that's what he was challenging.
Right.
They made him say, you got to pick one. And he may have said hand pass. And at that point, they said, well, they looked at it and they said, it can't be a hand pass if it ends up being Jason Mraz who covers up the puck. So no. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The call on the ice was goal.
Right. Right. So.
How could he have won this situation is my question. I think he needed to argue goalie interference.
Okay.
And I think on
that's
that
what I thought it was goalie interference.
Won.
And that's what we were watching for when we were watching. Were they in the crease? Were they in the circle?
Okay, so if it's goalie interference, then the goal doesn't count.
Right.
Okay. But then you've got the goalie interference to deal with. Okay, that's how he would have won.
All right.
I got it. Sounds good. Yeah, well, then he screwed up.
The ref said, you're challenging. Which one are you challenging? What are you challenging?
Right.
We called it a goal.
So what he wants is the ability to go back and say,
no goal.
Go back, look at the play, and figure out what was wrong with it.
Find something in it. Yeah.
And so I just don't know that that's reasonable. To call the league a joke, like, well, what are you challenging? What do you want to challenge on the play?
Okay. You know what, though, Beetle? I get it. You watched that. Did it look like goalie interference? Did it look like you have the puck puck covered?
No. The goalie looks sloppy here. The goalie looks sloppier. He sees the puck.
Here's what I know, Hardy. There's been a million of the calls over the years where the puck is barely covered and they get the whistle.
He did not have control of the puck.
I know he didn't, but there's plenty of times where the whistle gets blown anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get the, what's the phrase? The dead in the head? You know, it's dead in the head. You're like, what? So I can understand why he thought, no, I didn't think he really had possession of it. Did you?
Well, to what extent? It wasn't in a lockbox, but if somebody comes and slides their stick underneath your glove, they're going to get it out. That's my point. I did not see a replay that showed a loose puck around his glove, right?
I guess you're right. He does have it trapped with his glove on the ice.
He's got it trapped with his glove. But his hand is moving.
And his own guy.
His hand is moving to the point where I think if you look at the angle from the right side of the net, it doesn't feel like he really had a firm grasp on that thing.
He's got that all black glove too. It's hard to tell.
I mean, he had it covered. No, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
see,
if he
the
had
side
covered,
angle, huh? he had a, yeah. the side angle, he had it covered.
He did. Yeah, how about that? Here's the argument I heard. He obviously didn't have control of the puck. That's why it came loose. Well, you get anybody in there with their stick who knows what they're doing, they're going to be able to get that puck away from
them. I just think in real time, do you put it on the refs for getting it for not blowing the whistle there?
No, I don't either.
Happened very fast. It's different when you look at it in one quarter speed.
But back to this Luke DeCock guy.
DeCock, yeah.
If you had to change his first name, what would you change it to?
I don't know, Zoe. What would you change it to?
Philip?
617-779.
That doesn't even make sense.
I'm just going to keep moving.
Short for Philip?
I keep moving. Let's go to Peter, who's in Holliston. Hey, Peter.
Holden. Thank you, hey, T-Bone. Holden.
Holden works.
First off, going back to the possible hand pass, if it hit the other Bruin in the back, which they were looking at the camera angles to see if it did, and that was inconclusive, that would have been a hand pass. But second off, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mrazek's glove was completely over that puck, down on the ice, in which case dead in the head means that the whistle doesn't actually have to blow. It's just the referee has to think in his head that he is about to blow the whistle, and that will kill the puck. Right. That's the first that goal, absolutely. If it went the other way, if it was against Tuukka, this town would be going absolutely bonkers. And the truth is that should have been a covered puck. That should have been a dead puck. The second goal that would concern me last night is the overtime goal was absolute brilliant passing. What bothered me if I were the Canes was Mrazek was just dreadful in covering that pass. He was, when you look at that goal from Bergeron's angle, he was so off his line that he actually ended up sliding past the goal to a point where there was, I think I could have scored that goal. It wouldn't have had to have been Hall of Famer Patrice Bergeron to get that in there. So, yes, they did win the game. Yes, they did. I think if I would call it 52-48 in terms of the Bruins outplaying the Canes. But the Bruins are supposed to be a much better team than that. So I wouldn't take a whole lot from yesterday's game. What I would take from yesterday's game is how today's game results, because I think today's game is much more important. If the Canes can come out and win a 3-1 game against the Bruins, then the Bruins sort of revert back to, are they for real this year or not? Whereas if the Bruins come out and win a 3-4-1 game, then I think, yes, going forward.
Then we're rolling. Yep. Bruins are rolling in. Seems like you've got to believe what they've said, that this is an extension of the preseason, and now we're playing real hockey, and it looks like, hey, from an energy standpoint, and just – start to finish yesterday felt like night and day from the other games they played. Night and day. So whatever happened, they flipped whatever switch they needed from an energy standpoint to do that.
617-779-0985. We get your calls on the Bruins. We have a short show today. We're here until 11:30, leading you into Celtics coverage as they play another one of these regular season games. We already know their first-round opponent. Right. It's the 76ers. That's on the table. And our friend Brad Stevens, our buddy, he got a contract extension yesterday. That's all in the mix, too. We're going to get to that, but we got your Bruins calls as well, all on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The phone number. We got a lot of calls on the Bruins right now. I got an email too from one of our regular emailers, I believe, about Brandon says Pastrnak is a turnover machine. Longer he holds the puck, the more issues he has, but when he gets the puck, whether pass or shot off quick, it's a beautiful play. I blame Cassidy for keeping him on the point during the power play. You are right. He's done that with a number of times. He's too carefree with the puck. He shouldn't be there. Sets up way too many shorthand chances. Keep him near the net. Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
Quick hands, right?
Careless passes. Get sometimes. Turnovers. Yes. He's not being put in a position to succeed. Eric is up next on DeBrusk and his lack of scoring. Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey.
Just wanted to touch base and see what you guys thought about Jake DeBrusk. I thought he had a couple of golden opportunities to put it in the net. I know he got that one shot where he kind of scooped it up. in the exhibition game and scored. But I think
I think he needs to call Tutcher and Rich.
He's a TNR.
Okay,
bump.
Whatever that bump thing
bump.
Is. Right. Yeah, he needs that right now.
Right.
Okay, because when he gets to the net, he has a hard time having the puck go into it. Yeah, he needs a bump. He needs a bump. He needs something to get right.
DeBrusk. But he needs some of this.
You know, this keeps coming up over the course of the year. Would you leave DeBrusk unprotected in the expansion draft?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah. Get him some smart food, crunch berries.
Yeah. Hardy's struggling with it. T-Bone, would you?
No, I'm struggling with the fact that Zoe took this moment to start eating popcorn.
I'm just going
to
keep going. let him eat his popcorn.
Did you come up with a name yet for DeCock?
I like DeBrusk. I think he is not a guy that you can afford to leave a couple other players unprotected for the sake of keeping him. How's that? It's not so much about him; it's about other guys that I would choose first.
Okay,
I don't want him gone. But if you're going to have to expose somebody,
I don't either.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's
I would
okay.
not be afraid to leave him exposed if it needs to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's I think the team is better with him, and he had an unfortunate moment or two in the game yesterday. But I'd be okay allowing him to be selected by the Kraken. Excuse me.
The Kraken. Ron says the refs got it right on that call yesterday. Ron.
How you doing?
Good.
He definitely got it right because one of the replays they showed, when they showed the glove, you could see the puck moving slowly. So, in my opinion, it was a legit goal and they got it right.
Yeah, it's one of those cases where replay can convince you of anything. You slow it down enough.
What angle are you looking at it? Because the one he's talking about, you zoom in on that glove and you see the puck moving under it. You do.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought he's trying to push it out of there. I thought at first he's trying to push it out of there with the glove. And not.
You know, we're all moving to a certain extent, Zoe. You know, just the molecules, the atoms. There's constant movement.
I move every day.
Still. Oh, it's true. Still is still moving.
Beatles moving.
Moving.
Right.
Dennis on the goal. Right or wrong? What do you think, Dennis?
Well, it's right if Brenda Moore challenged the hand pass, because the hand pass goes to the goalie, and the ref says that he possessed it, which is where he covered the puck. Now, there is an obscure rule where if the hand pass goes to the goalie and he just makes a save and the rebound goes out to a Bruin and then he scores, then it would have been called back. Now, I think if Brind'Amour challenges goalie interference, the ref might call that goal back. And I think that's what Brind'Amour's gripe is.
Right, but instead, he really wanted, like, multiple things reviewed. He wanted the goalie interference reviewed. Yeah. He wanted the potential of the hand pass reviewed. He wanted all of it reviewed. He wanted it reviewed that the puck was covered up.
Right.
Right?
If I were Brind'Amour, my gripe would be this. I thought the purpose of replay was to get it right. And whether you believe the hand pass is okay or not, there's still somebody swiping at a puck trapped under my keeper's glove right there. They get it loose and then score. So you guys want to quibble about whether I'm arguing or challenging the right thing. Aren't we supposed to get it right? And after looking at that thing, it looks like you got the call on the ice wrong, and I want you to make it right. But instead, it's very nuanced. Well, you didn't challenge whether or not it was interference. You challenged the hand pass. Or if you challenge the interference, then the hand pass factors. Did you get the call right? Look at it again, you know? But you can, it's not that simple. You have to challenge a specific part of the play. If I were him arguing, that's why I would be upset right now, because if I'm that coach, it looks to me like they didn't get the call right on the ice and they could have reversed it. It's negligible. It's not the greatest miscarriage of justice in Stanley Cup playoff history, but I tend to think that he had that puck and they got it loose and they shouldn't have it. But for whatever reason, whatever their explanation they gave him at the time or after the game, it didn't satisfy him. I don't blame him.
I thought he had the puck covered. And then if you really look at it from one of the higher angles, whoever was mixing it up when they knocked the puck down with the hand had his left stick in his left hand. And it was a Carolina player that I think got the glove from the other side that popped the puck out from the left side of Maratz's glove. It almost wasn't like a Bruin hit. It was almost like his own player popped that thing out. And there it goes across the ice, and then bang, it's in. So That's after you look at it 10 times.
Let's go to Mickey, who's in Braintree. Mickey, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going on, guys?
What's
up? Hey. So, yeah, I was watching that, and what happened was when they both hit at the same time, the Kane player and the Bruins player, right? So it wasn't a hand pass. I think Brendamore had to choose one or the other. You know what I mean? Was it a hand pass, or was the puck loose in his glove? And I think it was a little bit bumbly in the glove, and somebody chopped. I think Richie chopped it out and put it in. So it could have probably went either way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know people saying it got it right. So I think they kind of did, but and then, you know, obviously, like, if it happened.
Mickey, you think it changed the game? Sorry. You think it changed the outcome of the game? I don't really think it did.
I don't think so.
I don't either. We can agree on that. And by the way, to Brendan Moore's credit, I don't think he's really saying that either. He's pissed about a call. But I don't think it ultimately is the reason why his team lost the game. But what are you going to do? Bad calls happen. Just go back to that puck that went out up off the net in Columbus last year.
Oh, God.
Which we'll never stop talking about. Okay? Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose when it comes to the calls. Let's get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back. We got a half hour to go until Celtics coverage begins here on the Sports Hub. Let's talk about the Celtics. Brad Stevens with a new deal, and the Celtics know their first-round opponent. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.